What's going on, everybody? Josh Engelman and Ben Raza here for AwesomeMo.com, and we are back with another PGA Contenders this week for the AT&T Byron Nelson, coming off of last week's Wells Fargo, where we do have a winner that we need to talk about. But first, everybody, please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Those are the most important things you can do. But now we got to talk about the real most important thing, Luke List.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'll talk about that. It was my winner. I got on the board 12-1 for a top 10. And, you know, we were talking before the show, everything else for me, and I think partly for you, was way off. I had guys that I picked for outrights missing the cut. But the great thing about betting in particular, it doesn't matter. Missing the cut, coming in third for an outright, it's all the same. And Luke List, 12-1, that makes up for the entire card for both of us with plenty of interest.
It really does. Yeah. Both of our main outrights missed the cut. My second pick didn't even play, which was really fun to see. So I only went 0-2, so I don't feel as bad. Harris English had a bit of a shot on Sunday. He was just outside of the top 20 and then played like garbage, so it didn't really take me any further. But no Finau, no Rahm last week. We're on to bigger and better things. AT&T Byron Nelson, new course too. So we don't have a lot of information here. I believe they played, what, like the Nationwide something or other there a couple years ago? Best I could do. But obviously, it's not the Nationwide Tour anymore.
No, can confirm. Yeah, there's been some Korn Ferry events there at some time. But I'm taking nothing from any of this. This is a new course. It's the week before a major. It looks like, and of course, we will have plenty of content on the DFS side breaking this all down, but it looks like it's going to be pretty good scoring conditions, and that's something I've incorporated kind of into my bets this week.
So we're going to kick this one off now. Three bets on each side. You had a winner last week. Would you like to go first or second?
I'm going to go second. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to react to what you do.
I have a sneaky suspicion we're going to have a duplication here today.
Ooh, that's always fun.
I'm going to the outright market for my first pick because I want to try and hit for the cycle and get all three. This is where I think that we might be duplicating. I am going to plus 850 John Rahm to win this event coming off the missed cut last week. I don't know if you're going to have Rahm, but I wouldn't be surprised if you do. Obviously, he missed the cut at Wells Fargo and missed the cut and cost me a cash lineup as well, but that's a whole different show. He was bad on the green, bad around the green, but he still gained. He was plus 1.25 strokes off the tee. He's had 8 of his last 10 events were top 10s. Like, this was very much an aberration, or at least I hope that it was. I think he's the best golfer in the world right now, and there are places where you can get Bryson priced better than that, and I just don't agree with it. And this is coming from someone that actually likes Bryson. I would just rather have Rahm. And I had a lot of trouble finding value in the outright market. It would be more for me, like, if this were a different show where we're giving more than three picks, I would want quite a few very small pieces of a lot of guys with longer odds. But if I'm just looking at one guy, I think the best value right now, especially coming off the miscut, is Rahm.
No problem with that. I seem to have a bad stretch where I seem to be a week early on a lot of guys. So Rahm was my pick last week, and he did not look good. I have a feeling he's going to play well. I just don't really want to back him at this number per se. And I agree, looking at my full betting card, I'm going to have a lot of guys with maybe some small sprinkles with massive odds, a lot more top 10s and 20s. There was one guy up top. I'm going, and this is going to be a chalky guy. You're going to hear a lot about him all week. He's a Texan. I'm going to Ryan Palmer. He's still 40-1 out there. And to me, that was just a number that I can get on board with. He's a member at Colonial, which is not right down the street, but it's close enough. He has certainly played here. I believe he owns the course record at this course. Everything checks out. He hasn't missed a cut all year. The ball striking is always good. The putter, which gets a lot of grief, it actually has had moments this year. He gained a ton of strokes at I know I'm cherry picking, but he gained almost 8 strokes putting at Farmers, 3 at Sony, 4 at the Players, 3 at Valero. Like, he can do it. It's not to say that it's impossible. And you just look at what you need at this course. Well, you need to ball strike and you need to make a lot of putts because you need a lot of birdies. So I just look at Ryan Palmer's game and I have no problem backing him. Of course, there's some big time win equity, but he's, 11th this year in birdie or better percentage. He's been one of the better players on tour. I'm going to get my card started with a nice number at 40-1.
I like it. I really do. 40 to 1, a range that I wasn't paying a ton of attention to. Again, because I was looking for a slightly more frequent outright winner. But that would be the type of guy that I'd be looking at if we were casting, you know, 5 to 10 outright bets. All right, for my next one, we're going to the top 10 market. I'm getting plus 700 on Aaron Wise. Now, we're talking about a winner at this event in 2018. Obviously, don't read anything into that. That has nothing to do with this. We're on a different course. It doesn't matter. But he has won this event, and that's I'm going to stick to that. Now, you mentioned someone with a wonky-ish putter. Aaron Wise can't putt. Truly bad. 207th in strokes gained putting this year. But he's really good off the tee, all things considered. 38th in strokes gained off the tee. 26th in strokes gained tee to green so far in 2021. I just have to hope that he gets a little lucky with the putter. He was T9 last week at Wells Fargo. He had a second at Mayakoba back in December. So he can get into this top 10 range. If the putter doesn't kill him, and I mean kill him. If the putter doesn't kill him, he can be in contention in this event. I'm going to cross my fingers and hope that he has an average day putting, which would be incredible for him.
So it's interesting with him because when he first came on tour, it seemed like he was going to be a pretty good putter. I mean, you look at the win at this event, he gained 5.5 strokes putting at Trinity Forest that week, and he did that a lot. The one thing I'll say, it seems it's a small sample size, but he seems to be one of these players. When he likes certain type of layouts, he likes those type of layouts. I know that sounds stupid, but there are certain guys like that. And I think this type of golf, what he's seen at the Byron Nelson, and it's going to be a similar setup. You know, Trinity Forest is very easy. This is going to be very easy. He can be aggressive off the tee. He's going to have to make putts. But again, I don't know what we really do. Because if you would have looked at Aaron Wise at the beginning of his career and said, you know, what is this guy's strength? Putting would be towards the top of the list. Now you look. And he's been absolutely horrendous. So it's ebbs and flows. I don't mind that. I love Aaron Wise in life. He's not on my card, though. I'm swinging for the fences this week. So let me tell you right now, I'm going a lot more aggressive than you, I think, so far for both spots. 40 to 1, top 5 here for my next guy. And it is the man himself, Harry Higgs. Yeah, that's right. Harry Higgs. So we're shooting from the hip. We're going for the clouds here. He has not been good. He's coming off a miscut at Wells Fargo. His irons have been horrendous in two straight events. He lost 4.5 and 7.5. The putter's been good. And before that, he had gained in 8 straight tournaments on the approach. This guy absolutely mashes off the tee. He should destroy the 4 par 5s here. Again, what am I looking at? Birdie or better percentage. He's one of the better guys relative to his skill. In that regard, he's got the hot putter lined up. And he's someone when he gets going, he makes a ton of birdies, a ton. So obviously there's downside. He could be hitting the road early. But when you get this guy through, he can rack him up. He had 25 birdies at Sony earlier this year. It's that type of effort that we're going to need. I do think he's got some upside. I didn't want to go. He's 250 to 1 to win the event. But he's shown he's got a pair of runner-ups in his career so far. And I don't think it's unreasonable at 40 to 1 to take a small shot on him.
Oddly enough, I'm rooting for you in that one because if you hit that, that covers us for the entire event. And it's not just an outright. We've got a little bit of wiggle room, too. So, yeah, that'll cover us for this week and next week and the week after that if we really need it. So I hope that one hits. That'll be a fun one to track. This one's not going to be a fun one to track at all. We're going to the T20 market. Plus 500 for Jonathan Vegas. Yes. Johnny Vegas here.
Oh boy.
So he has made 8 out of his last 9 cuts, which is not really an accomplishment given the actual results, but it is better than missing the cut. And we are looking at another guy in my picks that cannot putt, does get saved a bit by his off the tee game. He gained 8 strokes total off the tee last week and was still tied for 43rd. That is really difficult to do, but he certainly did it. This is the same sort of situation for me for Wise, only I'm opening it up to top 20 instead of top 10. If he can be average in other facets of the game, like if he can be average at putting, I think the game off the tee can help him out here. I don't think top 20 is crazy. And I only need it to happen 1 in 5 times because he's plus 500 to get into the top 20. And that's the key piece for me. It might not be today, but even like slightly less than that, those are decent odds. He does have a second at the Puerto Rico Open. He was tied for 18th at Corrales. So he can get into the top 20. It hasn't looked great for most of this year. But again, I had a lot of trouble finding any value that was sort of frequent and not the true, you know, 40 to 1 in top 5 type long shots. I wanted to come a little bit closer to the vest and I didn't want to get as wide. This was sort of the best number that I saw in that range. But again, as we mentioned before, I see this event as more taking smaller shots in a bigger pool than a concentration.
I mean, Johnny Vegas, I believe he's got some Texas ties as well, can make a ton of birdies. And your number, you know, just looking around, I see a lot of plus 350s out there, things of that nature. So all of that is fine by me. You got to, you know, my card is a little different. I went with two pretty aggressive picks, particularly my top five with Harry Higgs. Now I kind of want some stability. So I'm going to, and we rarely do this on the show, going for a top 10 finish, but it's minus 125 for Bryson. And I just look at this situation. I want some stability to my card and just his ability to score. Last week, he flew home to Dallas because he thought he missed the cut. He flew back. And you look what happened. He came in ninth after all that. Third at the Players. He won API. This guy is an automatic top 10 machine. Obviously, there's always some risk that Bryson just blows up and does something crazy. But he scores so much. And all four of these par fives are gettable. I honestly think he could have three or four eagles if he's really dialed in over the week. And when you can score like that, even if you don't have your best stuff, he may find himself just backdooring, you know, a top 10 more often than not. So, of course, if Bryson brings his A game, I'm going to cash this bet. I'm laying money. Obviously, it's minus, but I feel pretty comfortable with that. And I like doing that sometimes. You take a couple flyers, you take a couple extremes, then you have some stability. If you hit this, it gives you some free shots on some long shots, and that's really a nice way to balance it out.
Well, I hope that he finishes anywhere other than first so that Ninth. I can still cash my ROM. You can have second all day if you'd like it. Higgs can finish third. We'll be right as rain.
Look at this. That's the
Three
plan.
Three bets up. Three bets down. There it is, everybody. The PGA Contenders. And this is not the last time that we're doing this. We will be back again next week, and you know what it is this time.
So do you, don't you?
Yeah, of course. I don't.
Okay. Kiwa Island season. This is kind of by you. I'm very excited. We got a major on deck.
I have never been to Kiwa. I know my wife has spent a couple days at Kiwa. Gorgeous place. I don't know anything about their golf course. I'll be perfectly honest with you right now.
It's long.
But it is a place that you would want to rent a house and hang out. That much I know. I've seen the pictures. It's gorgeous. Gorgeous stuff. But yeah, we're going big time next week.
After Harry Higgs cashes this, we will rent a house down there for the event, and we'll be doing the Contenders maybe live from Kiwa Island. You have to tune in and see if that's actually true.
I will absolutely do that, and I'm holding you to that. Okay. If Harry Higgs is in the top five, we're watching some golf in South Carolina next week. That's it, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us for another PGA Contenders. Please hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell. You know, all that good stuff. We're back again next week with another PGA Contenders. Good luck, everybody.